This is Corolla Digital.
Welcome to the Dr. Drew Podcast. My special guest today, Renee Graziano, one of the Mob Wives. Renee, welcome.
Hi, Doctor.
ReneeGraziano.com, G-R-A-Z-I-A-N-O, also at Renee Graziano, Renee with two E's. She has a new clothing, jewelry, and accessory line, Mob Candy.
Candy, which is,
I bet, going to do very, very well. Is it out yet?
Yeah, we launch our shoes in July, and hopefully it'll be on season four if we have one.
If you have one.
Oh, come on. We have to have one.
I would think so.
Otherwise, we're going to have to send the Mob Wives in for real.
Well, so now let's talk about this, because it's an interesting show. It's a show my wife got me involved in. She's a huge fan of your guys.
Which I love your wife.
She got me watching, and then – and then, oh, crap, I'm blanking on the blonde woman's name that does the morning buzz.
Oh my God.
We're both blocking her name. Wait,
we'll think of it in a second.
But anyway, she then, I was saying I'm a fan of the show, and she goes, well, I have dinner with Renee all the time. And I go to the
Carrie Keegan. Carrie Keegan, I love you.
I go to the Drunken Monkey all the time. I'm like, you have to come to Staten Island tonight. I'm like, all right. But of course, my wife said, yeah, of course. She goes, yeah, take about 30 minutes from Midtown. 2 hours later.
I wanted to send the car for you, and you took a ferry?
And it was fun. It was fine. The Staten Island Ferry, you never take that?
No, I'm not allowed. My father never allowed us to – I know that this is really bad, but we weren't allowed to take public transportation. So when we were younger, he bought a cab company, so my mother didn't have to drive us around all the time. But then I got a job when I was 16 in co-op program in school. I worked 1 week and went to school 1 week, so I had to take the ferry.
What work did you do?
I worked for the vice president of Citibank in the audit division, and I didn't really do anything.
Did your dad put you in that job?
No, audit division.
Well, my father. I was going to say, does that seem weird?
It was really weird.
Did they know who you were?
No, you know what? No, but that job didn't last long, so maybe they found out.
Well, to people that may not be familiar with the show, it's on VH1. It's about the lives of these women that were either married to guys in the mob or had parents or uncles or whatever, very close relatives.
To this so-called mob, you know.
To this mob so-called. but living a life that a lot of us have never really been exposed to. And for you guys, it's matter of fact and just the way you do things. Can you, if you can, so fill in the listeners on who your dad was and what your early life was like, because it's very interesting.
My father has been accused of being a high-ranking member of one of the five crime families. He is the greatest dad ever, and he's actually incarcerated right now. He'll be being released in July.
Oh, so, good. What was he in for?
You know what? I don't read my father's transcripts. I don't do court very well.
But your husband.
So it doesn't matter.
But your husband was.
Oh, the reason he's in jail for this time is because my ex-husband cooperated with the federal government, and because he didn't want to do the time for a crime that he committed that held like a 33-year sentence, he decided to cooperate by they put a wire in the watch, and he taped conversations between – it was my dad, my uncle, my best friend's husband, and two other gentlemen.
Did they all get in trouble because of that?
They're all in jail.
And what's going to happen to him, your ex-husband?
What's going to happen to him?
I mean, is he going to have to go on like a
– The lam?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no. See, if he would have went on the lam, then he wouldn't be a snitch. He would have just went on the lam. So he is part of the federal government's program.
Witness protection.
Yeah, I have no – I have no – what's the word I'm looking for?
Relationship?
I have nothing. Nothing. No contact.
When he cooperated, did that necessarily mean the marriage was over? Did you end it? How did that work? By the way, this all strangely happened on television.
Yes, after I was chopped in half from plastic surgery. So God saved me from one thing only to put me through something else.
We'll talk about the plastic surgery. That's a whole other story.
We don't talk about that.
Because that really didn't get part of the – didn't stay part of the story.
Because something else greater happened. Yeah. So, yes, it all happened on television. And I would have never left my son's father. And it's strange because he was abusive. But I think for me, I think I've been browbeaten for – I was browbeaten for so long that that was my place.
By him.
Yes. And I didn't realize that I was better than that. I was worth way more. So I would have never left him.
Isn't it weird? I mean, your dad idealized you and treated you like you were a princess, right?
Oh, yes.
Did your mom physically abuse you or anything or hit you?
My parents have never raised
right.
their hands.
So isn't it weird that you – usually it's when you think that kind of thing is normal that – women will get involved or accept. It's sort of easier to understand how women
right.
would accept that from a male partner. Did you just get a – was your sort of a slow slide into it? Where, because a lot of women get sort of – the other way that happens is men sort of wring out your self-esteem and your worth.
Oh, he did that from the very beginning.
And then they start the abuse later after they suck you in.
No,
slowly.
That was from the jump. He was from the very beginning, he was very just – mentally abusive, and then it went to I wasn't pretty enough, I wasn't this enough, so then I did plastic surgery.
How long were you guys married?
I met him in 1990, married in 93, and I was divorced 5 years ago. But we weren't together for the past – he went to jail for 7 years, which I left him not because he went to jail, but because he actually had gotten another girl pregnant while he was married to me. And I just really didn't want to do that. Nah, I didn't want part of that. So I had left.
And how did
actually, no. You know what? I left him. I know the date. It was November 29th. He raised his hands to me in front of my son. AJ was like 4.5 years old. And all I could think of was my son is going to be this person if I don't take him out of it. So that's the truth why I left. Then he begged me to come back. Long story short, he got another girl pregnant, which he was having this affair with the whole damn time. And it kind of worked out for me for the 7 years. So for 7 years, I didn't catch a beating. It was great. And I was living my life, and I was so happy. And then when he came home, it was like – it's almost – well, you know, everybody knows that I'm a recovering addict, so
– well, that's another part of the story I want to tell you. So,
But it's an addiction.
Yeah.
He was an addiction.
So you're addicted to him. Okay.
Yeah.
So like a love addiction.
It was – I was – because he convinced me that nobody else wanted me, that I wasn't
– that's where they wring that self-esteem down.
And he took me down.
Yeah.
It definitely did. But lo and behold, God did something great for me, and he removed him out of my life. And the only way I guess God could do it, or the only way I could live without him, was if he cooperated, because I could never be with somebody that's a tattletale.
So that closed the door for you for sure.
Yeah.
So again, tell us about your upbringing. So your dad was maybe involved in something, and you were – I've seen pictures of you. You had your furs and your crazy stuff.
My father – my father's one of 12 kids, and there's 10 sisters.
Was he an immigrant family? Or?
No, yeah. From here. But he just had such a big family, and he always spoiled all his sisters. So it's just been instilled in him, so he just did the same with his daughters. And growing up, I didn't know everything at all. I remember, actually, it was really funny, and I'll probably get in trouble for this one, but I don't really care. I was in this club called Pastels, and I was standing with a friend of mine, and this guy comes over and he goes, "Oh, this is Anthony's daughter." So the guy leans over, he goes, "Oh yeah, your father's a captain." I said, "My father doesn't sail a ship. What are you talking about?" And they just all looked at me, and I had no idea. There's like, you know, all these different things. Not that I believe that my father's involved in anything like that the government accuses him of all the time. But I went home and I was like, "But Daddy, I don't understand." And it's funny because, you know, most kids come home and ask about the birds and the bees. And I was like, "What's a soldier? What's a captain? What's this? What's that?" And it was just such a different
world.
What
did he answer?
He was a working man. My father owned a trucking company. And all he said to me is, "All I ever have to worry about is that I'll always be okay."
And what kind of trucking was it?
He had a trucking company with his dad for many, many years. It was taught trucking over I remember going to work with him when I was a little girl.
And then he bought a cab company?
Yeah.
Did he have other businesses?
Limousines. Yeah. My father is a businessman, 100. And he's a very, very smart man, my father. And the trucking company was 100% legitimate. And it was something he had for many years until his dad passed away. And, I mean, throughout the years, there was restaurants and clothing stores, you know, whatever business venture was.
Always in Staten Island?
Fresh and new on the table, yes.
Now you're...
Actually, no. Do you know that my father was one of the first people involved with the Copacabana? And, oh, my God, how could I forget her name? super famous woman that I can't think. Patti LaBelle was one of the first people to ever that he had in the club. Mm-hmm. So my father was always doing something. He had a place called A Wing and a Clam. He loves to cook, my dad. So he had a restaurant in the city. Restaurants were always very big, but you know, that's what they say about a lot of people that are involved in this life. There's always a restaurant around.
Your brother-in-law has a restaurant.
My brother-in-law. See, he's an in-law, so he's got no attachments.
Well, I ate dinner there.
It's so good, isn't
it's
it?
So good, yeah.
Yes. Bella Mamas. I love it.
And so your upbringing was kind of idyllic, yeah? And your sister –
I thought it was normal.
And your sister produces Mob Wives, which a lot of people don't realize, yeah. Which is fascinating.
Yes. My younger sister, who is a college graduate, 3.9, NYU, very intelligent. She's like intelligent. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not smart, but we're different that way.
She's like book smart.
Yeah. She never had a – like she didn't even have to study. I studied and still failed. So thank God I have green eyes. she's brilliant. She took something – that we've known all our lives. And I personally don't see why so many people are offended by the show.
What? You know, when people are offended, what do
like,
they say?
Like, oh, you're not supposed to talk about this. You're not supposed to talk about that. Well, it's a little hard not to talk about it when you're in the news. And it's a little hard not to talk about it when that's all you know. And they want to blame women for something that men did. You can't blame me for the Valachi papers because that man ratted a long time ago. And you can't blame any one of us for Donnie Brasco or half of the other people that have cooperated throughout the year. So why is it that you're mad at the women? Oh, are you mad because we're making money and you can't get a kickback? Like, really?
Well, that's the interesting – for me and Mario, the interesting part about this is the women and what you absorb and what you carry and how you treat each other and – how you view men and marriage and things. Talk to me about that, because that's the part that gets a little bit confusing. And I just did the reunion with
yes.
you guys, and a lot of stuff came up.
Yes.
It got exhausting having Karen and Ramona there like, with the same thing over and over and over again. I was like, Ramona, come on now.
I think that's because, VH1 has their own – VH1 is putting out a show.
Yes. And television has a different priority than perhaps you guys do.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And unfortunately, if people call each other names or if someone's a racist or someone's trying to blackmail somebody, things don't get exposed because they're trying to protect their company.
That doesn't go
company.
On TV.
Right.
Yeah.
They're trying
and yet you guys were yelling about that stuff.
Well, because that's a serious issue.
Yes,
you're
I
not.
Get it.
Don't point fingers. Don't name call.
Well, but it starts to – if there's things like that going on, all the intensity of the conflict between you guys starts to make more sense. Otherwise, like, where'd that come from?
What's right. Well, right, because people don't understand what's going on.
Right.
But what's – back to, you know, the women as far as Mob Wives, I think that my mom and dad have been together for 52 years.
So the old school was you stand by your man no matter what, and the man treats you right, and you stay out of his business. I mean, I was watching a documentary about The Godfather, and they were talking about the evolution of Michael Corleone and how he closed out his wife from his business dealings. Literally, the final scene is him shutting the door with him getting his ring kissed. She's not to be a part of that. They were protected from all that.
Well, you're not supposed – personally, what you do when you leave the house, I don't – it's not my business.
So the men have their own sort of
world
they're dealing in.
Correct.
Women are to be cherished and protected from it.
Cook,
clean.
It
seems like that's sort of broken down, though, a little bit with your generation.
You think?
Okay. So what – and yet the women continue to try to shoulder everything because they're still dealing with the kids and protecting the grandparents and trying to navigate whatever legal consequences. I mean, the amount that the women seem to be taking on is too much.
Yes.
It's too intense. And then but now let me take it one step further. The source of all your misery is the men.
100%.
Okay, so explain your perspective on that to me.
Okay. Well, and this sounds ignorant.
And yet you act out on each other with all the men have given you.
Okay, let me explain it.
But this what I'm saying makes sense though, right?
100%.
Okay.
100%. We women were bred to take care of their families.
In this
That's
world
it.
You lived in.
In this
and yet,
world.
And yet Jennifer, your sister got out and went to school and is a businesswoman and stuff, right?
Right. Well, I said she was intelligent.
Well, I'm just saying though, but she, in spite of having that value system instilled in
it
her.
It was different for Jennifer.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is she a different generation?
Jennifer was just scholastically intelligent. So there was more for her than being a wife and a mother. That's how my family viewed it.
Okay. But generally women, and is this true of most of the women your age, that they were just sort of, you're going to take care of the home?
Absolutely.
That's your only option. Okay.
Right. And that was my only option because I didn't go to school any further than high school.
Did they refuse to send you to school beyond that, or you just didn't want to?
I didn't pass all the tests.
You didn't want to. All right. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to lie.
You weren't inclined.
I was not a school chick. I wanted to be married with children and a family. Because to me, cooking, cleaning, and taking care of my family was such a well-respected job for a woman where I come from. So I wanted to be like my mom. My mother's the most amazing woman in the world. I don't even know how she's put up with everything that she has. You know, my father's probably has like 15 years in at this point. He's 73. He has cancer. My mom isn't feeling well. She has, you know, three daughters. We all have had some run. Well, I've never been in trouble with the law.
Are those women happy, your mom's generation?
My mother's happy because she has her family. My mother's
okay. So that's but the message
she's you've different. Got. She's different in the sense. I'm sure she's not happy that you know.
Don't women deserve
she's
to be
had
happy?
A do. Yes, we do deserve it.
Okay.
But I'm sure that she's not happy that she had to go through all the struggles. But her reward is her grandchildren. So my mother doesn't look at it the way that I look at it now. For me, it's more or less. I would never date in that lifestyle ever again. Ever again.
So you've had.
I've had enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough because I have carried so much that has affected me emotionally, mentally. It's been a breakdown for me. And I don't need to carry weight for people that have to carry their own weight. If that's what you choose
to do. And we're talking about men when you say
right.
that. Yes,
oh, yes. I'm talking about men. If that's what you choose to do when you leave the door, you know what? When you get – and we call it knocked, like in trouble. You get pinched, whatever. I'm really sorry.
It's on him.
I'll send you your commissary. I will come once a month, but I'm not doing anything else.
And
I'm done.
And this is, other than your genetic heritage, this the magnitude of the misery of this is what fueled the substance use, yes?
I don't know. I don't want to blame my father's
always,
lifestyle.
Well,
on
it's
that.
Always it's always tricky when if you have addiction, blaming things.
Right.
I'm just saying to understand the what you were.
I think
managing.
Mine came from my ex-husband. I think mine is way deeper than a lifestyle.
So
I think
the
mine
trauma
is
of the abuse.
Yeah, I think mine's abuse from the abuse. I don't think it's from that because my father did nothing but love us. I can't tell you that my father wasn't present for every holiday or every birthday. He might not have stayed all day, but I can never tell you that he wasn't there.
Did he not prepare you for life,
None.
Though?
No, my father.
Because he protected you from it. He had you in a little bubble there for so long.
I was never supposed to work.
Yeah.
And I was never supposed to worry because my father promised me he'd always take care of me.
Okay.
And I'm 43 today, and I could say that my father's always taken care of me. Mm. However, we've survived as a family. My father has come to terms with a lot of things with me, so I'm getting emotional. I love my father so much. And I love him because he's found a way to accept what's wrong with me and what's happened to me.
We're
over
talking about
years.
Your addiction?
Addiction, my sexual assault, you know, the abuse. He's come to terms with it so we can talk about it now.
Sexual assaults by your ex-husband?
I was assaulted in 2007.
Raped?
July 6th, I was I wasn't raped. I was in the hospital. I was a patient, and unfortunately, because I overdosed, my family opted to put me in a 72-hour holdover as opposed to detox. And 3 hours before I was being released, this predator.
Another person on hold?
Yeah, another person there.
Another patient.
Another patient.
Yeah.
A real nut job, even though I don't think he was crazy because he admitted to what he did. So he knew what he was doing. Held me down and assaulted me.
Oh, my God.
So
here you were.
That's when I became a pill addict.
Well, so you'd already had an overdose. You had mood issues. You had trauma from your ex-husband. And now this on top of that. Oh, my God.
That broke me. That was pretty much it for me.
Oh,
I wasn't the same afterwards at all.
Did you ever try treatment for that or did you ever?
I did. And then Mob Wives season one came along. And unfortunately, I had an experience with one of the girls' boyfriends on the show who inappropriately touched me and.
Re-triggered all that.
Everything went out the window. The smell came back from the person, the feelings.
Can you say who's girl?
You know what? Today I don't choose. Right. They can watch season one and they'll know.
Oh, it's in there.
You know why? Only because he has a child.
Okay.
And for the sake of these kids. You know what? I don't need to let him know who his father is. He'll find out one day.
And it seems like your peer age also has not only had to shoulder a lot for their male peers and the previous generation male peers, but the kids, you guys are sucking. I hear a lot of them, all of you guys, all the time. The kids. You're trying to protect the kids.
I have never once lied to my son, where, you know, like Carla or Drita or Ramona have said college or the army. I never lied. No, AJ, your father's in jail. He committed a crime. That's where he is, and that's where we're going.
And
why are there bars all around? Because your father's a loser, and he's in jail. That's why.
And
I mean,
AJ's
he's just
an amazing
kid, isn't he?
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's the coolest. I love him.
The only thing, the only problem I have with AJ is his weird insistence that addiction is some sort of choice, that which is his way of punishing you for his, you know, sort of being unhappy with having to deal with addiction.
I don't know if it's punishing me. I just think that he's my mom is the same way. Mm. They just don't believe it. That's it. They believe either you do it or you don't do it. And you know, I was actually a little upset with him that day because when I was in treatment, AJ was much more open and spoke about it and understood a little bit more. I mean, he understands. He just doesn't have tolerance
well,
for it.
Well, he's what's called ambivalent. Sometimes he gets
well,
it,
I didn't go to school, so now tell me what that means.
It means not you know, flip-flopping. Sometimes he goes one way, sometimes he flips back.
Okay.
And you got to let him
come. I'm going to use that word.
Ambivalent. You got to let him come to it in his own way. He's got to come. It's okay. He has to say it. I mean, if I were to have really come on to him that day, he would have put up even more walls.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to going, well, I sure wish it were true.
Right.
You know, what are you going to do?
I think it's also
– Drita, by the way, helped you out with that. I don't know if you remember that. She came. She chimed in right afterwards.
Did she?
Yep. And went, hey, you'd be out of a job, Drew. You know, I was like, that's right. I would be out of a job. It would be so easy. I just tell everybody, hey, just choose not
that's
to.
That's right. You're correct. Yeah. You're correct. Yeah. I think for AJ, it's his way of dealing with it. And
yeah,
it's
right.
Okay because you
that's
know
right.
what? If it's a matter of do it or don't do it, it's instilled in him not to do it. So then he won't do it.
Well,
that's okay for him.
I bet he doesn't have that gene, I don't think.
I pray to God he don't have of my genes.
Well, but if you have this gene of addiction, you kind of know who has it and who doesn't. It's an uncanny thing. People can
really?
When they have it, they kind of see it in other people. And
well, I got it, damn it.
Well, you do.
I got it. Otherwise, my ex-husband got it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have been treated if you didn't have it.
But nobody in my family has it but me. They probably have different addictions.
They probably have it at a – there's differing genetic burdens.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you got to have some genetic predilection for this. You got to at least have a good experience when you take a substance, right?
Okay.
If you only felt like shit when you took one, you ain't going to keep using it. So at least you have to have the biology where these things feel good to you. At least that.
Then I'm really screwed because they don't feel good. They just make me not feel.
Well, that's enough for you to want to continue that.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a part of your brain that kicks in and says, do that again.
And again.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Then you can't stop.
Can we remove that part of the brain?
No. People always ask me that. No, I'm sorry. But we have a way of managing and treating and stuff. but it requires work. It's intense.
Yes.
This is not a small commitment.
No. Nope.
Have you found a meeting that
that I'm comfortable
works?
With? Nope.
Yeah. You ought to maybe out when you're out here. There's a lot of stuff out here.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, actually, you know what? My son and I, he was just here last weekend and he was like, Mom, I think we should move. I think you need to get out of New York.
Mm. He likes it out here?
He likes it here. My parents are going to, I don't even like to use the word relocate. My parents, it just reminds me of
move.
Somebody cooperating.
Yeah.
So my parents are going to move to Florida and my dad wants me to go. Yeah, he's like, you got to come with me, Renee. He's like, I'll make the house. I'll get a bedroom for the house. You can live with me and Mommy.
Well, AJ was thinking about going down there too.
Right. But he's been to LA. It's just a different – Miami's just like New York. I don't think that it's a good idea for me because it's just not like New York with sunshine.
Mm.
So I'm going to get tan all day and then party all night. Like, no.
Not good.
No, and I'm aging enough and my plastic surgeon's in New York. So, no, not happening.
Tell people what went wrong with the plastic surgery. That's a pretty hair-raising story.
Oh.
And that may have been where a lot of the substance stuff started. But let me just finish the substance thing. So you have to have a certain genetic burden, and then there's something that activates it. You know, some people, the genes are just so intense.
Yeah, I think mom was a man.
Right. Well, the abuse and stuff. And some people, it's just the drug itself is enough to activate it if you have a really heavy genetic burden. And some people need to have something where they really motivates them to use a substance where they trigger the genetic burden.
Really?
And you're sort of in that category. We had to go through all this horrible hell, and then it took off.
Well, I've used – from a young age, but when I was growing up, it was cocaine. So it was like this stupid, silly white girl type of rich drug and champagne. It was dumb. It was really dumb. And I didn't. Alcohol never had a problem. Like, I could pick up a drink today if I want, take a sip, put it down, and not touch it for a year.
I know, but it'll.
No, but I know it all does somewhere along the line, even
it's
though
the same
I'm convinced.
Same biology.
Yeah. I'm convinced that's not true, but no. I just want to do it one day at a time. That's it for me.
That's it
because it's too much pressure for me to
start
counting days. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I got 137 days.
No,
I'm going to go have a drink because I can do this. Like, no, it's too
just
complicated.
Today. Just today.
Yeah. And if just for today I'm good, then I'm good.
Yes, that's a great.
You know, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
So now the plastic surgery. Tell me about that.
Okay. So when I was in like fourth grade, these two girls, Danielle and Michelle, would pick on me. I was not the prettiest girl growing up. Not that I was ugly. I was just awkward. I wore a bra in third grade. I was like very advanced, but I was different than they were. Like, and they came from the same lifestyle that I did, actually. The girl, Michelle, her father was actually murdered and put in a trunk, and that's where they found him.
Oh,
she was just mean. She was a mean kid.
Well, she can imagine what she was dealing with.
Yeah, but I still don't cut her any slack for it.
Right.
Sorry, because she made me – she gave me a complex. Mm. So they would pick on me, and they would invite me to parties, and they'd be mean to me. And my my low self – what was the question?
The plastic surgery.
Oh, right. Yeah. So my low self-esteem started very, very young. And because I wasn't proportioned properly, I had really big boobs, and I had no ass – I always want – God made me upside down and backwards. Like, but he made me really good on the inside. So that's really all that counts today. But I wanted to fix everything. And I started at like 16 with, I want dermabrasion. I wanted my skin done because I thought I had bad skin. I didn't. I had a breast reduction at 18. And then I just started with plastic surgery. And it was like, oh, my God, I could look better. Then my ex-husband
Was it body dysmorphia, you think?
Oh, I think I have that. I just found out about that. Yeah. Well, they told me I have it because of the extreme surgery that I had.
Right.
So they're like.
But I two things I wonder about when somebody does the stuff you're doing and the way you describe your story. A, body dysmorphia, like it's never good enough, it's never okay. I never see anything I like in the mirror, number one.
Yeah.
But also, did the opiates encourage you back? Did you want to get high off the drugs?
No.
Good? No. Okay.
No, I don't take pain medication.
Okay.
I did when my ex-husband had. Broken my coccyx bone. That's how I started with the opiates. And they had me on like Oxy 80s for such a long time. And then the doctors were afraid of me because they knew my family, so they'd never say no. So I'd be like, well, I want this, that. And they'd just write it. So it was kind of, you know what? I take responsibility. I did it to myself.
Okay.
But anyway, plastic surgery, my last, I wanted my ass done.
Okay.
And I wanted a flat stomach. And I went in and I did not do the research properly. And you know, I'm curious about something.
Yeah.
How come doctors don't have to, if I have to tell you what's wrong with me on my medical papers, how come doctors don't have to tell their patients?
Nobody has to tell anybody anything.
You have to divulge your drug addictions and stuff.
Right. But I mean, nobody has to, you know what I mean? You're entitled to.
Well, you're going to lie to the doctor
that's going to cut you open? Well, that's the point. You can either not see them or see them, or you can say there's certain things I don't feel comfortable talking about. Is that going to make a difference in my surgery or whatever? You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you had to tell.
Well, you should. I'm saying you should, but I'm saying you're also entitled to keep things confidential where you wish. I'm not comfortable with that today.
No,
it's a bad idea to do that.
No, I'm not comfortable on the doctor's behalf now. I'm not accusing any of the doctors that I've been to, but I know some stories about doctors that are actually addicts themselves.
Oh, sure.
And there's one plastic surgeon. He's actually he can't practice anymore, but he was an addict. And he screwed up so many women. And I think that you should have to tell me. If you have an addiction, you should have to tell me.
Well, I see what you're saying. There should be a
Either that
it's
or
an
the
interesting question.
Or the board that whatever this is needs to come in and test the doctors.
Well, they do.
Do they really?
They're supposed to. They're supposed to. No, but listen, I understand your skepticism and these things. There's all kinds of shortfalls in the system. It's pretty good in California. It had been pretty good anyway for a long, long time. But I don't know how to answer your point. I think the bottom line is we should be policed better.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't – and by the way, I worked with doctors that are in recovery and were addicts, and they do tell their patients.
And you should.
They do. They're very happy to.
I'm entitled to know if you're going to have a fucked up day and you want to pop a Xanax.
No, but they're also.
I'm not coming to you that day.
Well, but they're also happy to share their experience with these patients too.
It's like they might be in a good place then.
Well, not that you. If a doctor says you have been, by the way, I had an addiction 20 years ago. I've been recovering for 20 years. That's good information.
Right. I would just test them the day of my surgery, right, to be quite honest.
Okay. You could do that.
And I think you should be able to because, well, maybe it's because I had a really bad experience,
but see, the problem is just doing a urine test probably isn't enough.
No. Oh, you my God. I mean? Do you know what I heard on the way over here?
What's that?
They have a HIV home test now.
Yeah. It's a good test.
Is it a good test?
Yeah, it is.
Because aren't there going to be a lot of false positives? And you think, isn't that scary? People are going to be killing themselves.
It's scary. And that's the part that when I actually helped I read a piece of copy for them once. I wasn't paid for it. I'm not involved with the company at all. But I read a piece of copy. Somebody asked me to do it. And it's I think it's Magic Johnson's company even or something like that. And
before I did it,
I checked with Kaiser Family Foundation and organizations that are very involved in HIV,
right,
and they endorse it. They say it's a good idea. The fear was that people wouldn't go get the adequate follow-up.
That's scary.
It is scary. People have to follow
imagine
up.
Imagine taking the test and you think there's nothing wrong with you and you find out you have it. You might kill yourself. You might – then you got to tell everybody what you – like, yeah, it's a little scary.
It's a concern.
Because the biggest thing – wear a condom.
Right. The biggest thing with treatment of HIV right now is enrollment. Getting people into the
My aunt died from it. One of my father's sisters. So.
There's no need for that now. You can live with this for a long
She lived with it for 20 years. She did. But it's just a scary thing. But anyway, that was so like off.
But back to your surgery. So you wanted more
so
surgery.
So back to my surgery. So I wanted more surgery. I went in. Unfortunately, I would love to tell you everything that really happened. But I'm being sued for $77 million right now because I said how I really feel about the doctor, and I'm really not allowed to. They told me, but I don't.
Well, don't say it here. Don't get yourself more.
No, I'm not. No, I really don't care. To be
quite
honest.
But what was the procedure?
I went in for a tummy tuck and to have the fat transfer, but that's not what I got. I got a full body lift, which means that they cut you all the way around.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, very crazy.
Like a candy cane, like
I'm cut like a circle.
Oh God!
But I mean, the scarring. I have a second surgeon now. He's done because the first surgery went so terribly wrong. I had to have corrective surgery, which Dr. Michael Fiorello is doing it, and my first procedure was a total success, and I go in for my second one on April 30th.
You had like an infection and a non-human
wound. I had gotten MRSA. So the MRSA had eaten all the way down to like my spine. It was like really deep, the scar. So they had to, when he did my corrective surgery, he had to do fat transfer. So he had to stuff like the hole in my back. But it's not bad. It's really, really not that bad. And I'm dealing with it the best way I can. By continuously having more surgery to fix it. I'm not okay. You know that, right? There is something really wrong with me. I just wish they could tell me what it is and just give me some sort of pill to fix it. No, I'm not as sad as I was over it.
Over the surgery.
Over the surgery. Because I really believe the doctor that's working with me is like heaven sent. Like he's done so much for me. And what am I going to, like, throw a pity party? No one's going to come. It's not fun anymore.
In the course of your treatment for addiction, did you get into the trauma stuff? Did you get a lot of psychotherapy in addition to the addiction treatment?
The first time I went to treatment, I'd gone for a longer amount of time. I was there for over 60 days. That's when there was pain medication involved. And I was prescribed like 6 Roxy's a day, 6 Perks
in
a day.
In treatment?
No, before I went to treatment. Yeah. 6 Roxy's,
right,
6
right.
Perks, and Xanax.
Listen, I see people on those combos all the time. It's crazy.
And yeah, I was really skinny though. I didn't need a plastic surgeon then because I couldn't even eat. Went in and I kicked it. I stopped it on my own. Like I took myself off.
And it was, stopping the drugs is
that,
not
that wasn't
staying
smart.
Stopped is the problem.
Yeah, but that, no, I don't take pain meds at all.
I'm just saying.
Right. Well, that's good for me. One thing out of the way and done with. The only time I have taken the pain medication is when I had that surgery. Mm-hmm. And I had a pick to my heart for 10 weeks. So obviously we know I needed the medication because it was so severe.
And you have the pick line for the antibiotics for the MRSA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They had to come up with a cocktail because they couldn't.
It was so resistant.
The vancomycin didn't work. Mm. They were like, oh, God, what are we going to do with this girl?
So it's
so it's just something more. It's just, you know, something else for me to deal with. But today I'm happy. Today's
good.
Today's great, actually. Yeah.
And the Mob Candy is going to come out when again?
July. We're launching in July. And I'm happy. And I'm sure season four will be fabulous.
Have you guys started filming that yet?
Nope. Not yet. Not yet. I believe I don't know if I'm allowed to say I have a season four. So I don't.
So don't. That's all right.
Yeah. I don't know if I have one. But if we do, it's in July.
And Mob Candy, is it been distributed in certain stores? Or
not yet.
It's gonna show up yet?
Right now, the shoes will be exclusively in one store in Brooklyn because we're just starting out. And I'm hopefully going to have a Mob Candy store in California, which will have everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you want people to get from the program? What do you hope they get out of that?
Help.
Help.
You
were very courageous about showing your addiction treatment. I think that helped people.
By the way,
it looked like a good program. I'm very jaundiced about
it. It was a great program.
Yeah. Did they get into the trauma stuff you were dealing with very much?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did
they recommend further treatment for it when you
got home? A whole lot of it.
Are you doing it?
No.
You need to do that.
I know. I don't want to talk about it anymore, though.
It's fine, but you blurted out a few minutes ago, what's wrong with me?
I'm saying I don't want to talk about it to anybody else anymore. Like
I hear what you're saying.
To keep going over what happened to me at 16 and 18.
You blurted out what's wrong with me.
I know what's wrong with me.
But that's where the rubber hits the road, and you need to keep working.
That's where the rubber hits the room, and I end up in the rubber room.
So back to the show. What do you hope people take away from it? Why do this?
Well, I think I've done it for my own self because it's been therapeutic for me. Mm. As crazy as the show might be, it's very therapeutic. But at the end of the day, if I could save one person from making a mistake that I have,
the addiction part,
every part, dating the wrong guy, you know, getting married too young,
staying in with abuse,
living your life for somebody else. If I could just help one woman, one child, one man, I'm good.
Well, going back to the women. Do you think there's ever going to be a day where you guys will treat each other well? Because
I think I treat everybody great.
But lately you have been.
I'm sorry. Someone called me a junkie. Was I supposed to be nice to her?
I'm just saying.
Curious.
I'm just saying.
But I'm just curious. What is your opinion on that?
I told you, and I upset you. I told you I'll call my patients junkies once in a while.
You're allowed. You're a doctor.
For effect.
Yeah, but you're doing it.
She was doing it for effect too, believe me.
But she was trying
to get you upset.
She was trying to get me upset, so I hit her, so I got fired. Is really what she was trying to do, but I prayed
on
that.
That's interesting. We didn't know. We don't.
Oh,
really
you're right.
See
you don't
part,
know.
So that's interesting.
Right. You also don't know there was a race word said. You don't know that she was saying things to me. You can't talk about my loved ones. Period. Mm. You can't.
It's not
happening.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing. What do you? You've got great kids and stuff.
Right. But it's just.
What is she going to – she can't attack that.
Why? Like, her thing was she attacked me because I called her on her shit. She called me on my shit. Okay, guess what? You're right.
But
I am an addict.
You guys are cool. You guys are cool.
Well, you know what?
She called to ask how you were doing the other
she
day.
She did.
It was very
she
nice.
Did. And I put it aside because, you know what? She called me on my shit and that's that.
But that's my point. It felt to me – let's look at that relationship.
Okay.
That, now, while justified in being angry, I get what's going on there. It still feels like the real intensity of that energy – comes from all both of you guys are shouldering from the men in your lives, and you take it out. It comes out on one another.
Right. Oh, it's all about the guys because it just doesn't make any sense. We fight so hard for our families to be these loyal women who take care of these men who sign up. We sign up for destruction. It makes no sense. Like, we might not know what they do. But we know what it is.
But it all gets acted out on the other women who are doing the same thing. Is there something to be learned there, I guess, is my question. Because is that going to one day be a message that women need to, like, treat each other better?
We need to treat each other better, but we also need to stop pointing fingers because we're all responsible for what we do wrong. And I owned everything that day on the show. And I will say I have made mistakes. And I'm not saying that I haven't, you know,
met somebody. I was surprised how – not you, but how – psychologically or emotionally unsophisticated many of them were. They really didn't think about it.
That's what gets me so angry. Is
well, You were saying something. Maybe you were in my ear going, oh, I understand that. I get that. And I was sort of bringing that stuff up to them. And they were like, huh? Why would we think about that?
Right. Thought, wow, see, Carla couldn't comprehend that her snippy mouth is what got her cracked. In plain, she doesn't realize. Like, first of all, we come from such a world that when you are talking to somebody, you have to keep your distance between face to face. You have to.
Because there's aggression and
violence
always.
Like,
in
when
the
I leaned in on her in season one and I called her boyfriend a CUNT, she put her hands on my face. Because I leaned in.
I understand, but is that aggression and violence that's in the background always?
I'm not a violent person.
But
that's
it's always
crazy.
In the background. Is that okay?
No, it's not all right. You're not supposed to put your hands on people. That's not nice.
Okay.
If you touch my child, I don't care. When it comes to my kid, everything's off the table. Don't care.
Different issue.
Right. I don't care. But Carla and I'm happy that she did what she did to me that day because I was able to take that. And nobody has ever said anything like that to me in my life. So whatever somebody else says to me, I can laugh at them now and be like, really?
Good.
I've been called a junkie. Sorry.
So she did you a favor in some weird way.
I will never give her credit for what she did. Come on now. You're pushing it.
I am pushing it.
She taught me that I am capable of...
forgiveness?
I knew that way before her. But she taught me that I can control myself.
Yeah,
that's what she taught me.
Right.
You know,
you don't have to. You don't have to react certain ways to certain.
Well, there was also 10 bodyguards. I didn't have enough time to get across the table. I had 3 seconds to do it, and it wasn't happening. No,
which is another part people don't see is all the big guys standing around.
I felt bad for her the day at the party, and I think for me that's why I helped her, just because I wouldn't want to see
that was
anybody.
Terrible.
I just felt bad, I mean, I understood why Love did it. I get it because I've been angry. But I also felt bad because Carla was like, we're a pack of wolves. Like, I'm glad they like me, which they probably don't, but they have to because I'm Jennifer's sister. No, Karen and Ramona really do.
Because they protect one another.
Yeah. We're very protect. I think it's because we've all psychologically been abused. And all we have is each other. Yeah, but then again, we all abuse each other, so it doesn't make any sense.
Right. That's right there is the fascinating part for me, is that you're this all comes from trying to protect these men who mistreat you.
Right.
You take it out on one another, and yet no one else is allowed to do it to you.
Right. No, nobody is. It's the truth. No one is. No one's allowed in our circle. It's almost like it's like a sister. Like you could call your sister names and pull hair, but nobody else is ever allowed.
It's sort of a gang in a way.
Oh, great. Well, no, I never wanted to be in a gang.
Is it a kind of a gang? Kind of?
That's the most fucked up gang in the world.
Do you
we
love,
abuse each other?
Do you love one another?
I can say that I love them.
Yeah.
I can. Do I love all of them the same way? No, but
it,
I have...
It changes too, right?
I have... My thing is the fakeness, the phoniness. If you don't like me, tell me.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not that serious. We'll work together and we'll have a working relationship.
Who do you have in mind when you say that?
There's a couple people that I don't want to call everybody. No, because you know what?
If they're not here. They need to be here. Okay.
Right. They do. I'd say it right to everybody's face. You know me.
Yeah.
I have no problem. But in all actuality, just really be yourself. I pride myself on being me. And I might be a good, crazy, wild, outspoken person with a great big heart, but I'm just really me. I don't put on. The only thing I put on today was false eyelashes.
And it's some sparkles.
And I love my sparkles, though, because I'm a glitter chick.
Okay. Did we need to take a break, Chris? Okay. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
Renee Graziano is who I'm interviewing here. You know her from Mob Wives. Mob Candy is her new product line. She's on Facebook on /ReallyReneeGraziano. It's Renee with two E's and GRAZIANO. At Renee Graziano is the Twitter handle, and ReneeGraziano.com is the website. Mob Wives, when was that reunion going to air? Do we know?
Sunday.
This coming Sunday?
Yeah.
They were able to edit all that fast?
Could you imagine? Yeah,
no.
We had to take a week off. So it's been 2 weeks.
I host or I refereed or something, an event amongst these women. And it was interesting. It was really interesting. And really, I appreciate being allowed to be a part of it. But I did wonder how they were going to – it aired last – oh, yes. It will have aired last Sunday relative to when this is airing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there we go. And I hope people liked it because it was an interesting experience to be a part of. My wife loved it.
Oh, wait. This airs after? Oh, so I could have said a lot more. Like, love isn't on the show anymore.
Right.
Like,
say that.
I forgave Carla, and she said she was sorry. So a lot did happen.
So that when I made her say, or I asked her to say, I'm sorry, that was a big moment for you.
I told her if she didn't say it, she was never going to be human. That was the only way she could humanize herself, was apologize. That's me.
I thought it was interesting she did it. And I believed her. I believed that she meant it.
Well, my son really got
Hopefully all that will air. Hopefully all that will have aired.
It'll air.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. A reminder to please click through at drdrew.com on the Amazon link. It doesn't cost anybody anything, but it keeps the Corolla pirate ship afloat. We are going to take a brief break and come back with phone calls after this.
Hey everyone, it's me, Allison Rosen. This week on Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend, I sit down with Whitney actress Rae Seahorn, and we discuss growing up chunky, feeling inadequate as a woman, the size of Avril Lavigne's tushy, construction site bathrooms, Fantasy Island and Bewitched, and growing up with her father, who was a naval intelligence officer.
I had an aunt once that, very tipsy, was like, did you ever see this? And showed me a picture of my dad dressed up as a woman in Russia before the Iron Curtain fell undercover.
Wow.
And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all. It was very disturbing.
Subscribe to Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you. Goodbye.
Allison's your new best friend.
Welcome back to the Dr. Drew podcast. We were just getting into something here about what happened. You said, thank God you had me. I was saying you were doing a good job with me, helping me explicate things.
Thank you. Well, I knew you didn't understand us completely, so I had to kind of break it down. And I knew that they weren't grasping
what I was saying,
the therapy side. So I kind of played. I was proud of myself.
Well, you were. It was a little bit of like a Jeopardy. Oh, I got this one. I got this one.
Until I got really mad, and then I went on that cursing rant.
Yes, you guys had some words that were I don't have the fluidity of language to you and then Ramona. And you were saying you were glad you had me. Why?
Because you. You saved me. You made me realize that I don't have to be as crazy as I normally get to get my point across. Mm-hmm. And sometimes speaking to somebody calmly
when
is
you were
much
emotional,
more
though, which was very powerful. I thought
it's much more effective. Ooh,
your phone
sorry.
Going off,
yeah,
sorry.
It's much more effective if you're calm.
Right, of course.
Because you're more rational,
and people can hear you better too.
Well, people are going to hear me regardless.
In addition to the litany of expletives that flowed forth from your mouth, Ramona was the other one who was very active, had a few choice words, and scared my wife.
Which clue when she
Lucifina
said Lucifina when she said clue
whatever all the clue, all the clue, she kept saying all kinds of horrible stuff.
That was a good one though. I'll be honest, that was a good one. I love Ramona.
She seemed proud of herself at the end of it.
She did.
Ramona, you can't
but she
exhausted.
Invited her to the wedding.
That's right.
Do you know what you did? You made like headway with these girls.
Really?
Carla said she was sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Ramona invited Carla after she was going to set her on fire to her wedding.
Yeah.
Karen's daughter's father. I did that one. That was all me.
Yeah, that was good.
I made him say he was sorry.
That
and
was
he
good.
Meant it. I
yeah.
know. I was so proud.
He's a
of
good
him.
Guy, by the way.
He's not a bad guy. Not
he
a bad
probably
guy.
Probably was a bad guy, but he's really working on himself.
Bad guy doesn't mean bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Right.
You know.
Did bad things.
Yeah. But I think.
Andrita was, I don't know what her problem was. She was freaking out.
You pissed her off.
I couldn't tell why.
Dude, I was honestly.
Why?
I was sitting there going.
She should tell me
please
why.
Please don't say Lee, Karen, or Dave in the same sentence ever again. And you didn't even realize it because you said earlier, do you guys, you know, do you talk to Lee, to Karen? And then I saw her face go. And then you said to Dave, so do you and Lee ever talk? And I just saw her, we're territorial.
No, I understand. But she had just told me that there was no issues, though. She's
no,
like,
she
oh,
was
I don't
getting
care.
Mean.
I don't care.
And then I was getting nervous. And then I was like, oh, my God, I have to save Dr. Drew. Let me put my superwoman cape on.
Oh, it's so funny. It's very interesting. All right, let's go to some phone calls. This is Kyle. Kyle's 24. Go on, Kyle. You're on with Renee Graciano. What's up?
Hey, Archer. How's it going?
Good.
I just want to say, like, I think it's great that you stand up for the intimidative, you know, power of the profession for the medical doctors. I think we need a lot more of that in our society. I just think it's awesome that you stand out that way.
You're very kind. What's going on there, my friend?
So I have a younger brother who is 18 who has been using/abusing marijuana and alcohol. And, I, you know, I'm not sure that he's necessarily an addict or if he's just, you know, doing the I'm a depressed 18-year-old and right. I want to self-medicate,
okay. Okay.
or he's just partying with friends and being a recreational
user. It's tough, Kyle, to tell at that age. There's some simple sorts of questions you can ask that help sort of clarify what's going on. Is there a family history of alcoholism or addiction?
Yeah.
Who is that relative to him?
We have an uncle who we think lives in Vegas. You know, he was, you know, mixed up in a lot of drugs and alcohol when he was young.
And whose brother is that?
My mom's brother.
Okay, and does your mom seem to have any momentum with alcohol or pills or anything?
No. I mean, like, both my parents drink, but it's like one or two drinks in the evening, that sort of thing.
Well, but every day is a lot of alcohol. And do you notice that one of them sort of, think about it, does one of them have a different relationship with alcohol than the other?
No.
It can be kind of subtle sometimes. Does dad
it really isn't. They're both, you know, very, you know, recreational users.
All right. Okay.
That sort of thing.
All right.
And,
so,
you know, and I was the same way when I was his age. You know, I was a bit of a problem drinker and that sort of thing. But I recognized, hey, this isn't a good thing.
You abused
it. You know,
it.
I need
yeah.
to stop this.
Okay. So we're talking about abuse probably. Because, you know, addiction is a family genetic disorder.
Yeah, but sometimes people drink and use because of other situations. And I know for me, it became more excessive to get rid of problems. So I think maybe you should ask your brother, is there a reason that he's doing it? Does he feel better when he's drinking or smoking to get rid of another feeling?
So that is exactly the point. And
is that addiction?
No, that's abuse.
But that's
abuse related to other psychiatric, psychological
problems.
Well,
that's something that you really need to look at.
Need to be addressed, right.
Yep.
And he's saying, and Kyle, you were sort of blushing that over with the kind of you know, casual brush that we often do, which is just a depressed 18-year-old. But really, you ought to look at it very, very seriously. When you have 18-year-olds that
and
are using
depressed.
Substances, when they're depressed, when they're acting out in various ways.
And if it's supposed to be depressed at 18, that's serious.
It's to
me.
It's common.
What is very interesting about his behavior is when I was, you know, 18 or something, and, you know, with, you know, smoke pot with my friends on the weekend once in a long while or whatever,
yeah.
I did it a couple of times. But I always attempted to hide that behavior from my parents. I knew that was not appropriate behavior. I knew that was not a good thing to do. But he like thinks it's okay, it's cool, it's no big deal. It's going to be legal in two states, even though it's still illegal. And there's no, you know.
Yeah, but the question,
you know,
then still is that
he is into that, you know, sort of thing. He thinks it's cool. He thinks it's okay to do.
Here's another question.
It's really not.
I know, but here's another question you can ask him: is does he love it? If he says, I just love that, then that's a different relationship with the substance. So ask him.
No, I think he's an 8-year-old kid that kind of needs to get, you know, some issues worked out.
Well, so why not get him that help?
Thing.
What about getting him that help? I mean, I
told my mom that he probably needs to do some sort of, you know, emotionally focused therapy or something like that.
I'm not sure, Kyle.
Have a healthy relationship
with
that sort of thing.
Kyle, see, at that age group, cognitive behavioral therapy can be very, very helpful. And let me tell you something. At 19, I was having panic attacks and I was depressed. I think it's why I'm interested in that age group. And back then, there was no focus on adolescent health. None. It sort of didn't exist. You're either a child or you're an adult. And the sort of issues of adolescence were like, not even touched, and particularly what was going on. You know, we went through the sexual revolution in the 70s, and so how kids were conducting themselves in their relationships was brand new. Nobody in the medical profession really helping out with that. It kept me kind of focused and interested in that population because nobody helped me, and they should have. It would have been pretty simple.
Hello.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. And that's what we're advocating for your brother, Kyle, is that maybe get him somebody.
Start young.
And particularly if he's
save his life now.
And if he's in college and stuff, you know, if he's at that age, college, you have mental health and medical systems just for you and your age group, and they're free. And you'll never have a better system available to your stage of life ever as
never.
College. People need to take more advantage.
Got to pay a lot when you get older for that stuff. Let me tell you, it's like $250 for 45 minutes to tell me everything I already know.
Well, Renee, you've already offered to come back on the show.
Yes.
When are you going to be back around here?
Whenever.
Do you come to Los Angeles regularly
now? I've been here two times within the last month.
And what are you doing? You're just doing media or?
This week is press for the reunion.
Okay.
So, yeah. And the rest of the time, I just want to breathe.
Is it a one-hour reunion or two?
I don't know how long the reunion is.
Because it seemed like that.
Oh, it wouldn't end. It wouldn't end. I was like, I have to see someone. Let's go, girls.
Oh, and Drita was already like walking off the stage.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm out of here. I tried to get through. They were like, stay at the script.
I think you did an excellent job.
Well, thanks.
And I think you were a great addition to us, and you should treat us.
No, come on.
That would be so much fun. Just do 1 hour with each of us.
Well, you know what I would be willing to do? Maybe. I don't want to be your doctor. You understand? Because I'm your friend also.
Right.
I mean, that would end the friendship. I'd have to be the doctor. I have to switch that.
Yeah, no. I don't want that.
But I could help with – I would be interested in helping with conflict resolution with you guys.
Yeah. Because I'll have conflict in season four with somebody else. Hopefully somebody new.
Oh, my God. You guys are too much. You exhaust me.
I exhaust myself. You wonder why I take medicine? Because I have to run around myself all day. You know what goes on in this brain? A little too much.
Rene Graziano. The Twitter handle is at Rene Graziano. Thank you. Mob Candy will be out in the summer. We'll be looking for
that's
that.
That's right.
And
we'll,
let's get you back in here to when that comes out and
absolutely
talk about it. Some of the time. Rene,
great.
Thank you so much. Pleasure
thank
as
you,
always.
Dr.
So we'll see you for dinner in Staten Island.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Corolla Digital.